Hello, welcome to the Long Shot Leaders Podcast. I'm Michael Stein. My guest today is Josh Holyfield. Josh is an Army veteran with over 15 years experience deploying and supporting the U.S. Army and Special Operations. He started weightlifting in 2005 and has been studying exercise science and nutrition as a hobby since. Josh used fitness as a way to help him overcome the mental and emotional challenges of serving in the military during combat deployments, then transforming from that career to become a civilian. In 2019, he started the Josh Holyfield Project, and since, he's helped over 40,000 men with tools and resources they need to transform their bodies and their minds using techniques that focus on creating sustainable habits. He's also built and scaled two seven-figure online businesses and works privately with entrepreneurs and advertisers to build and scale their e-commerce and services-based businesses. I really enjoyed talking to Josh. Here's somebody that has a lot of value to offer. Here is Josh Holyfield. All right, I'm here with Josh Holyfield. We're talking in the pregame. I know this is going to be fun. I'm a military. I love the military. My stepdad, that crusty bastard there with the cigarette. He was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. So high respect for anybody that serves. I want to go back to the beginning. We want to find out what built you. You got a very exciting journey that you've had. I know you've seen some shit. I know you've been through some shit like everybody has. But you know, I'm interested in your thumbprint. Where you from? Where'd you grow up? Tell us about childhood a little bit.
Sure. Hey, Mike, how are you? So I'm originally from Sacramento, California. Grew up there. I'm not a native of California. My mom and dad moved from Minnesota, but I don't remember much of that. Was as a toddler. Graduated high school there. Joined the military from there. So Sacramento is kind of my stomping grounds. Currently live in North Carolina near Wilmington, which is on the, you know, East Coast, basically beachside, beautiful out here. I've been here. Work brought me out here after my most recent deployment about 10 years ago, and I just never left. So,
well, let's go back to high, when you were a kid. Were you, you know, you're a muscular guy right now. You're epitome of health and alpha, you know, but were you always that guy when you were younger? What was that like?
No, I was a mouse. I was a small, weak, very intimidated, very what we call emotionally sensitive or sissy, right? Mama's boy. I got picked on a lot in school. But the thing I had going for me, I guess, was I was like five steps ahead of all the other kids my age, intelligence-wise. Mm. Skipped grades in school, best test scores. Like, I was basically a prodigy when it came to. And the only reason I didn't go further kind of that path was because of we were poor and very poor. So grew up single. My mom was a single mom. My father was always in and out of prison. It was basically me and my little brother. Most of the time she was at work, two jobs, waitress, you know? And so that was kind of what forged me was that. And it's kind of funny. they say the strongest people can endure more. Mm. I believe that what you endure is what makes you strong.
Yes. Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, 100%. And so childhood, you know, going, looking back now, talking about that, what was I, you know, who was I? I was the kid getting picked on who had to go home and carry the weight of being the man of the house. Mm. Right.
In high school, did you know what you wanted to do in high school? Like, where did you say, I'm going to join the military in high school? What was that?
No. So after that, you know, middle school awkward phase, and I was a late bloomer, and because I skipped grades, I was way behind the physical development of all the kids in my age group. Right. Right. So like not hitting puberty until 10th grade, you know what I mean? But going into kind of, I guess, what I wanted to be, that intelligence made me lazy.
Interesting, because things came easy to you.
Right. I didn't care. You know, like what some kids had to give 100%, I was giving 50% effort and did better than they did. It made me arrogant. It made me cocky. It made me complacent. It made me lazy. Right. To the point where now that I had kind of grown into myself, getting in good shape, athletic, hit puberty, starting to kind of come into my frame, look good, more confident, wrestling team, you know, sports, you know, I started to kind of find myself, it made me incredibly arrogant. So arrogant, in fact, that when it came time for senior year, I graduated with a 3.9 GPA and didn't apply for college, didn't take the SATs, didn't take the ACTs, didn't even look at going to school, didn't. I was a drug dealer.
That was the plan.
And so I graduated, I was 17, and I was like, this is coming through a childhood where I've seen both of my parents do time. I've seen alcohol and drug abuse, domestic violence, and my brother, we'd been exposed to a lot. And I'm like, I found myself 17 years old. I had all the money in the world, you know, but I'm like, if I don't make a change and get out of this environment, I'm going to end up just like these idiots.
Yeah.
And so that's where I signed up for the military.
Smart enough to know at that point.
Yeah. And that was kind of my saving grace, joining the military.
Let's talk about that. That's quite a contrast going from that mentality to just hitting that leverage point, that point where you're like, screw it, I got to do this. Yeah. You end up doing that. You were 18 or 17 when you joined?
I was 17. I made both of my parents go down to the recruiter's office and sign for me to go. Wow. And both of them begged me not to.
Did they know that you were dealing drugs?
I didn't live with them. I lived with my friend. Okay. We had our own place. Yeah.
Had they known, they might have said, okay, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, probably. I don't know if they knew that or not. Probably not.
Yeah. So you do that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that experience. Talk about, you know, the military, talk about what surprised you, talk about the incipient stages of your life at that point. Big change.
So looking back at it from a 30,000 foot perspective, I think I always say the military was my dad. Right. I went through basic training. It was a breeze. I was the best. I was the fastest. I was the brightest. It was easy. Right. Went through, you know, my tech school, had a little couple of hiccups there. Found out that my little brother started using. And I tried to get myself out. They were going to let me out of the military because I'm like, hey, look, I'm the dad. My brother is getting into trouble now that I'm gone. I need you to help me out here. I'm not even 18 yet. Just give me a pass, man. Well, he's like, well, let me talk to your mom and we'll figure something out. They called home. Drill sergeant gets on the phone with my mom. She's like, hey, Josh is over here telling me that your brother's having some problems. He's getting into trouble. His brother's having some problems getting into trouble. Yeah. He's saying that he's having a hard time with it. He wants to come home. And the drill, my mom said, no, he's fine.
Was he?
He wasn't. She lied. Because she didn't want me to come home.
Yeah.
Because she knew what I was going through or what I would be going back to.
Right.
She was like, this is his chance. It's probably the biggest favor my mom had ever done for me.
Yeah.
Was lying to him. And that drill sergeant, he's like, I can't believe you came. I was in trouble because he thought I was lying to him.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So here I am doing pushups, you know, getting smoked. And this guy's nice. Like, you ever come to me with this BS again? But looking back at it, right. That, you know, from what was my experience in the 5 years I was active duty in the military.
Yeah.
I learned how to be a man.
Yeah.
Like I finally had people to show me what that looked like. Right.
Right.
And that was kind of the genesis or the start of, you know, who this Josh Holyfield guy that you see all over the internet is and why he is, you know, is who he is because I had that experience as a man being taught how to be a man.
How much time when you're done with basic and then you're, you know, you were deployed, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Where was the first, what it tells about that?
So I joined in 2005 in July, got to my very first, turned 18 that year, December. So 6 months later, I'm 18 years old. And October of 2006, I deployed to Baghdad. If you're not familiar with Baghdad, I was in an area just south of Sadr City. And Sadr City in Baghdad was basically where it was popping off. We got shot at daily. it was rockets, IEDs, you know, it was a big deal. Like this is, I'm at 18 years old, barely had hair on my balls in the middle of a combat zone. Right. It's pretty scary for me, but so we did well. About 6 months in, it was supposed to be a 12-month deployment. They cut us an extension. We ended up being there for an extra 3 months. So I spent my 19th and my 20th birthdays in Baghdad.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, hell of a camaraderie you're building with these guys, though. Same team?
Yeah. So the guys, yeah, same people the whole way through. I've got two good friends, Charlie and Jaime. I don't speak to them much. You know, we're like almost 20 years removed from this, right? But I know for a fact if I called either one of them right now, they would drop everything and whatever I needed.
Yeah, it's kind of an ineffable relationship when you have that experience and a year and a half almost. I mean, mm-hmm. am I right? You know, this team and what you go through, it's, you know, you would probably see them again and like you never left.
Yeah. I mean, if I ran into either one of them, I mean, I met up with Charlie a few years ago, probably more than that, you know, how time is. And it was almost like we never left. Immediately we're mentoring each other in our own personal problems in our lives and just having that person to open up to and just really that camaraderie is so huge. And I think that's part of the reason why so many men who get out of the military struggle, because that doesn't exist in the civilian world, that closeness and that bond that you create with other men.
Right. And I know a lot of guys in the military and I talk to them about it. And a lot of guys are like, look, man, I just can't even go in there right now because I haven't, but they don't have a problem when somebody that they served with or somebody that has that same experience, then they feel like, okay, you know, I can open up here. I could see how that'd be very therapeutic because that look that they give me, you know, like, it's just like that look in their eyes. Like, man, this is fucking, it's really heavy. You know, there's a lot of shit. I just want to get into it. I don't want to get into it, you know, but I've seen them talk to each other.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Well, you're not one of us.
Right.
Right. It's the thing that creates that bond is that shared hardship.
Right.
Right. I've been where you've been.
Yeah.
That makes us brothers. Right. That's almost like a rite of passage that you go through as a young man, you know, and in most, you know, ancient type civilizations, there is a rite of passage for boys to become men.
Right.
In our culture, we don't have that.
Right. And I always talk about, when I talk about military, you know, when my stepdad came around, that military guy, I was 10 years old and he'd be like, 8 more years, join the Marine Corps. Every birthday, 7 more years, join the Marine Corps. You know, and I didn't join, you know, like, you know, just go to the post office, you know, my 18th birthday, go to the post office and join. No, but that feeling that they have, you know, he says that was some of the best years of his life was when he was a sergeant in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And when you take that experience back with you, and the reason why I'm getting at this, that ineffable experience, that experience, it's hard to describe. You bring that back with you and that segues into your cause celeb, your mission in life, your, what you end up doing. Let's talk about then you come back. Let's talk about how you segue into what you're doing.
Sure. So I did like most guys in the military do. I got back from war, got married, had a kid right away. It's very common. At this point, I'm 20, right? Really no idea what life in the real world as an adult is even like. Right. And here I am. I've got this girlfriend and, you know, I got her pregnant, married her, and struggled with depression. Big time. After that deployment, I transitioned to a new duty station. We had the opportunity to move to Hawaii. It was beautiful there. Didn't experience any of it. And I felt terrible looking back at it in retrospect because my wife, she or ex-wife dropped out of college to be with me. I got her pregnant, you know, and she's starting this family with this military guy. And here I am developing a drinking problem, struggling with my mental health and not being the man that I promised I would be. And it made it very difficult because at that age, I hadn't learned a very important concept that men need, which is ownership. It's his fault. It's his fault. It's their fault. Why I'm not, or I'm this, or I'm, you know, my outcomes are not my own.
Right.
And because of that lack of ownership, you know, ultimately I pushed her so far away that infidelity in the relationship, and eventually, you know, had a divorce.
This happens a lot. And you know, when we talk about six human need psychology and the lack that you have after the military, because you have a lot of the human needs are met in the military. You have a sense of significance. You have a sense of connection. You have a sense of certainty. You have a sense of variety. You don't know what's going to happen at any moment. Mm-hmm. You have a sense of growth. And then it's all condensed in a hyper situation. And then when you get back, there's less connection. There's less variety. There's less certainty of what's happening. There's less significance because you're not contributing every day. It's all interactive. So when you have that contrast between where you were and what's happening now, I already know the answer, but I'm just like, tell us how, because then you start to say, hey, I'm going to get connection through this. I'm going to get my certainty through this. I'm going to get my sense of significance through this. And you did it. I know your story. So I know how you did it. Can you kind of tell, how did you get that? Cause I think that's important. Why guys are like, why does that happen? I know why it happens. I know exactly. I haven't been there, but I've seen the mechanics of human needs, what we have, and how that works. How did you tell us all the nifty things that you did to help yourself?
So initially, I honestly didn't know that I was helping myself. Mm. I just sought comfort, right? That's all I did. You know, I started this business that I run right now, which is focused upon helping men. The real reason why I started selling workout programs, which was kind of the genesis of what my business is now, was because I was going through divorce. So I needed to pay for a freaking lawyer. I was broke, bankrupt, wasn't sure, right? Like I'm struggling with this. I'm going through the most emotionally traumatic experience in my entire life, you know, experiencing long-term infidelity in my relationship and going through a divorce and literally at a point where I attempted suicide more than once to, okay, I need to figure this out. And I went to what I knew, which was social media, how to build an online business. And I started this Facebook group that, you know, we called it the Brotherhood. Mm. And the way I started it was, as I said, hey, I'm like this 250-pound Jack Diesel, you know, steroid.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
Okay. So that's a massive amount of weight for a 5'8" frame.
Yeah. I block a lot of sun. And I'm like, hey, I'm giving away the workout program that I use. If you want a copy, send me a message. Yeah. Next thing you know, like I had my Instagram and Facebook, I ended up giving away like 10,000 copies in the first month.
Wow.
And people are like asking for more.
What year is this?
This was 2019. So a few years.
It's still very competitive in 2019.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Not like you did this in 2008.
No, it wasn't like this. You know, I'm no Jim Stepani or Jeff Cavalier or, you know, those old guys who've been around forever. Like this is, I'm stepping into this market as it's saturated.
Yes.
And I started speaking to these blue collar men using this group and this Facebook community as almost like a sounding board for my own struggles and the things that I was going through. Hmm. And what happened was, is I created like what we call a cult,
a good one, know?
A good one. Right. Yeah. Like we always joke around. Like if I told these guys that, you know, they could build more muscle by drinking motor oil, they would.
Right. They believe in you. They trust you. Because, and there's a brotherhood there.
And the reason why I was able to create that closeness and that relationship with so many people was because, again, it's shared hardship.
Yeah. Trust.
We as men, we go through the same struggles, relationships, finances, fatherhood, you know, businesses, even in at work, whatever it is that you're doing in your life, we've almost convinced ourselves through that isolation that we're alone. We're not.
Right. And there's such a thirst for that because guys are like, I don't need that shit. I'll just do it. I'll fix it on myself. That's bullshit. What is this? And there's more of those popping up, but then, you know, there's not a lot.
Well, you have to be willing to be what some people call vulnerable.
Right.
Right. So like me, I have always been taught that sharing my emotions and being in tune with how I feel and being able to effectively communicate and process those emotions is, you know, synonymous with making myself vulnerable. Mm. Vulnerable is a synonym for weakness. That is not masculine. Me communicating my emotions and being able to articulate and speak about the struggles that I'm going through, that doesn't make me vulnerable. That makes me strong.
Yes.
And so people are like, I respect you for being so vulnerable. You don't understand. Me sharing that does it. I'm using my pains and my struggles and the things that I've gone through as a sword, not
people,
a shield.
People like you more for it. It just to use Mike Tyson as an example, there was a time where people didn't like Mike Tyson so much. And there was a time where he shifted. And now you watch him like he could barely get a word on it. And he's struggling to talk about Gus D'Amato and he's crying. And people were like, I fucking love this dude. He's got heart and he's honest and he's just bearing it all. People love that.
Yeah. And most men today, we feel the same way. Yeah. And so when we can create a connection with somebody who has a similar value system, aligns their life with similar beliefs, stands in integrity, and is also willing to kind of lead the charge of, hey, you're going through this. I'm here to do it with you. It saves lives, Mike.
Absolutely, man. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of times guys get out of the military and they're because the standard's so high in the military. And Tony Robbins was talking to Schwarzkopf one time. They gave him like a carte blanche day, you know, just to say, we could blow stuff up, you know, all that stuff. You know?
Yeah.
And he was like, he's sitting there and he saw this like discipline. And then he said, hey, Tony, let me ask you a question. He's like, when these guys leave the military, they, you know, we get them primed up, man. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing. He said, but when they go, a lot of times they just drop. He's like, you know what? Because of the peer group that they usually, sometimes they go back to, they forget, you know, because you're a product of your peer group, you know, and they lose that standard. The patterns get interrupted and then they're in a different pattern. So, I mean, this is what you've created, this brotherhood quote, you know, and then you guys keep each other to a high standard. Like the military.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because, you know, I always joke around. I'll do a post in there every once in a while. You guys just need to know I'm not a personal trainer and I'm not customer support. Like, you come to me and you talk to me with respect. If you have a problem, I'll solve it. I'm here to help you. I volunteer my time to support you people. Right. Don't treat me like I'm like, you know what I'm saying? How people are with customer support, disrespectful and rude. Right?
Right.
Now it's to the point where if somebody puts a post up in this Facebook group, it's got 26,000 people in it who use my coaching. Right.
Yeah.
If he's disrespectful in his post, it polices itself.
Yeah.
Where people start dogpiling on this guy to the point where I have to like, delete the post or remove the guy from the group. Otherwise he's going to get like, you know, he's going to get assaulted. Like, people are going to show up in his house.
You know? Well, it's, you've created a standard once again, you know, and when that it's, when somebody contradicts that, you know, and I'm sure that everything that I've, you know, read and learned about you, it's for the greater good, these standards, you know, there's nothing, you know, when somebody, you know, and there's always going to be somebody and it's like, no, you ain't gonna do that here. And I've seen a lot of these groups, you know, and people like dogpile them. I mean, you think that's bad. You should see the barbecue smoking groups.
Oh yeah.
Well, you got to like they call a pellet smoker, Susie Bake Oven. That's almost like, you know, you put a pellet smoker on, and they'll dogpile you, which is a great way of society of saying, look, you know, there's a standard here, you know, not to deviate too much, but you know, that society will tell you what they think is right. You know, and this is a microcosm of a society, your group.
Yeah.
Created. Yeah. You create that standard.
And I think that's great. But there's also another side of the coin that we as people struggle with. And you referenced Mike Tyson earlier, right? He talked about, you know, a lot of the, you know, people feel safe on the internet because they're not going to get hit, punched in the fucking mouth for what they say. Right. And so what happens is we have this society and this culture of what I call hyper criticizers, where they actually go onto the internet and are looking for things that they don't agree with or things that they can, you know, and I've always said, you know, like the trolls and the haters, as you would call them, you know, they're saying more about themselves when they project that.
Right.
But it's almost become normal,
yeah.
Right? Where men shouldn't be attacking other men. We should be lifting each other up and raising each other up and honoring each other. You praise in public and you criticize in private.
Right. And you know what's funny about that, just to add a funny note, is that, you know, Generation X, you know, which is me, I don't know what generation you are, you're a millennial, whatever, you look younger. But I mean, you had to interact with people before the internet.
Yeah,
so you carry that with you on the internet. Like, you know, you see, I'm sure there's Generation X where they're like behind the keyboard as well, but less of, because they're like, no, these are real people. We're people here. But like, you see a lot of millennials, like Generation Z, they're like, you're not even real to me. So I'm just going to like say a bunch of shit.
Yeah. It's like almost as if the internet dehumanizes.
Right.
Right. Where there's no like mutual respect that occurs as a baseline of, you know, interaction. It's almost like you have to these people in this internet generation, they feel like they need to, you have to earn their respect before they'll give it to you. Otherwise they can say whatever they want to say. And I think it has kind of ruined the whole mechanic of, you know, I get you being a Gen Z guy, right? Bullies existed. When I was in school, we fought when we had a problem.
Right. Generation. I'm a Generation X.
Yeah. X, excuse me. Right.
I wish I was a Gen Z. I'd be a lot younger.
And so being the guy is like, hey, if I've got a problem with you, I'll see you after school in the playground.
Right. There's consequences.
There's consequences for what you said. Right. And so now if there's a bully, that's almost a good thing. Think about it.
Yeah.
Bullies, they're not lying to you. They're going to find the thing that you're weak, your insecurity, what you know you need to fix.
Mm.
And they're going to exploit it. Right. And so what happens is it creates this cyclic thing where it empowers young men to be masculine and protect the weak against these bullies.
Mm.
And it also teaches the bullies there are consequences for being an asshole.
Right.
Because guess what? Mike's going to come pop you in the mouth if you say the wrong thing. So you might want to watch who you're bullying.
Yeah.
And so now what's happening is we basically have this constant level up of society.
Right.
Where if that bully, right. So look at me, 250 pounds. I graduated high school as 150. I gained 100 pounds because I was getting bullied.
Mm.
You should see the size of my truck.
Right? What do you got?
It's a Dodge Ram 25. But the point that I'm saying is I wouldn't have gone to the gym and gotten stronger and gotten better and became the man that I needed to be if it wasn't for bullies.
Right. Let's segue in before we get, you know, deviate. Let's segue into how did you scale? Because we left off. How did you scale the business where it's at today? What does that journey look like?
So initially, like I said, it was just me giving away the Facebook or the 4-week plan. Then after that, I was like, people are asking for more. So I wrote a couple of 12-week plans. Like, I don't know how much to charge for these things. $20. And I sold, like, I think in the first few months, the business reached 10K by month three.
No kidding. Wow.
Right. So I'm like bringing in a significant amount of money. I started doing t-shirts, supplement line. Like, I really just stepped into the space, like both feet at a time. Right. Yeah. Then as I scaled it, it was okay. People started reaching out to me. Hey, I want to work with you one-on-one. Do you have any coaching? I need more accountability. I need more of this. And I actually ended up hiring a business coach to come in and help me. He added that offer, taught me how to do marketing and, you know, all that stuff. I learned how to run Facebook and Instagram ads. And so since we started in 2019, I've spent, I think, $1.6 million on Facebook ads. And so that's how we've scaled. Right. Is we use the group as kind of that entry level. Hey, come into our circle. Now that you're here, here's what we offer. If you're looking for help, you know, the workout programs, the coaching, et cetera.
Now that turned an ROI, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year I used to work as a federal civilian. I was a GS-13. I mean, there's old men who would like fight and kill for the job that I had, and I picked it up. I was a direct hire. I was in charge of intelligence systems acquisitions for the Marine Corps Special Operations Command. So it was a big job. After doing that for about six months, I'll just go ahead and say that January 2021, I made more money in 1 month in that month of January than I would have made for the whole year as a government employee.
It must have felt great when things started hitting critical mass to where you're like, wow, that's good, man. My labor, it's turning over.
Yeah, it was scary for me because it was almost like this guy who's grown up like dirt poor his whole life. And now all of a sudden I like have all these employees and these people and the staff and this booming business. It's like too good to be true. Like, oh my gosh, like what is going on here? I started to get imposter syndrome. Like, am I even qualified to be giving the advice that I'm giving? Like, there's a lot of growth that had to happen for me.
Right.
You know, as a man and kind of my confidence in who I was in order to stand at the head of that table.
And no matter what, that'll creep up. It may be a little less like a pendulum throughout time, but you know, it does creep up because you were in the military, man. You served and you started from such a low point. And then you achieve that, it's going to creep up. And you know what? I think that's a surprise for anybody listening. It's like, you know, no matter what level you're at, no matter how much you achieve, you'll wake up one day and you'll be like, oh, I feel like that. And everybody does. Maybe the pendulum swings a little less as you get older and more experience.
Yeah. And you know, like we're year three, two out of the 3 years we've been in business is seven figures. You know, we're closing out this year really strong. Had some struggles and some bumps in the road here and there, you know, and it's just growing pains for me. I truly believe that my business is only going to grow as big as I do as a you know, in terms of my capacity as a man.
Right.
Right. But I would also say that, you know, the whole idea of running an internet business and this men's coaching group and all this is, it's like I said, this business has kind of grown with me and who I am.
Yeah.
And so, like, believe it or not, like right now I'm going through, well, I wouldn't say a crisis, but more so like, okay, what's next? What's missing here? I feel like there's more value I need to be adding elsewhere. I need to expand and grow and, you know, offer more. And I'm not quite sure exactly what that is yet. And so that's kind of where I'm at now.
Let's talk about the group or whatever you were talking about. You said, you know, I said, what we want to talk about at the end. You have a particular, let's talk about that. The program or whatever.
Yeah. So we actually just launched a new small group coaching program. It's called Fire Teams. And so if you're not aware, a fire team is actually the smallest element in the military. Okay. So three man fire team. All right. And a squad is three fire teams, right? So everything in the military is structured off of threes. Fire team, to a squad, three squads makes a platoon, three platoons makes a company, so forth and so on, right? So how the Marine Corps is built, as well as the Army. The Army has kind of expanded, so now it's based off of fours, but it originally was threes, okay? Again, we talked about this before, transitioning from the Army, from the military, one of the biggest struggles is that mental health, that purpose, and feeling as if you have that camaraderie. That's why I started the Facebook group in the first place. There are guys out there right now today who know exactly what they should be doing. They know that they want more. They're depressed. They're struggling in their relationship with their wives. They're not showing up as the best fathers for their children. They're overweight. And they're literally going through life knowing that they need to make that change, not sure where to start, and telling themselves that they don't have the time, money, or motivation.
Right.
And I can promise you from firsthand experience that every single one of the men that I've been working with, whether you make $10 an hour at McDonald's or you're a multimillionaire, because I work with guys across that whole spectrum, every single one of them is selling themselves short. Mm. So what I did is I decided that I was going to introduce Fire Teams training, which is a 12-week intensive where you go through with 11 other men. And this isn't just workouts and nutrition and, you know, this buff guy is going to teach you how to lose weight and get in great shape and feel good naked. I'm going to help you optimize the quality of your relationship with yourself, optimize the relationship you have with, you know, your job or the way that you make money, your kids, your finances, your wife, and literally whatever, wherever you are lacking, we're going to bring that to surface and we're going to attack it head on instead of hiding from it like most men do.
Right.
So cold showers every day, reading assignments every day, writing assignments every day, two workouts a day. Like, this is very intense, but we go through it with you the whole way through. And it's really cool. I don't know if you've ever heard of the mobile app. It's called Marco Polo.
No.
You'll have to check it out. But we use the Marco Polo app where it's basically like when I log in, there's a feed. And anybody who's in my group can post a video. And now what happens is I have like this feed of videos where I follow along with all of the people who are in that fire team every day. And so when they're doing their workouts, hey, what's up, guys? I'm here with you. So now you're like virtually, but you're with these men every day. You see them every day. You talk to them every day.
Yeah.
And here I am. I'm holding you accountable, building the programming and making sure that you're staying on track. But I'm also there to fail you if you don't comply. Mm. So people fail. We'll kick them out of the program. No refund. Sorry. You don't get the plaque at the end, right? And then at the end of the 12 weeks, the 12 members of the fire team, they vote for an honor grad.
Hmm.
That honor grad gets a special plaque that he gets to hang on his wall. And then he also gets an opportunity to either get another rotation for free or send somebody that he knows through for free.
A little gamification going on over there.
Right. And the idea is when you're done with this, I want you to feel like it's an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And just like when we talked, when I got out of the military, you know, I want this to be something that you feel like those 11 dudes, you've made 11 friends.
Right.
And you have those guys in your back pocket, in your phone, anytime you feel like you're struggling, you're no longer on an island like most of us feel like we are.
Right.
And so that's how it works.
That's awesome. Great. A brotherhood. That's what it's, yeah, that's what it yeah. is at the end of it. Like your group there, Facebook group, but this is intensive. You said that you don't, you know, have any plans or you're trying to, what is your long-term, as you would say, 30,000 foot vision of where you want to go? What's next?
Well, we're actually in the process of launching something similar for women. It's called The Empowered Woman. Okay. And the idea behind this is, you know, long story short, is want to teach women to have higher standards for the men that they choose as well as themselves. I believe that we as men built this world for women, and we will only rise to the occasion, or we'll only rise to the expectation. So you want a better man, you need to expect a better man. That's what that's there to teach. That empowered woman is there to teach.
Do you have a female instructor for that?
No.
Are you going to have one, like one from the military?
I've considered it. I actually have somebody in mind that I've been going back and forth with. She's phenomenal. But she's also working on a similar project with her husband. And so there's a little bit of conflict. If I don't find somebody who I believe is a good fit before, I'll run it myself.
Right. But that would be awesome if a woman had, you know, from the military also, what an interesting perspective, and style and also sticking to what you do. I think that's very intriguing.
And the thing is, you know, it's funny because I know that we're short on time, but I started putting my message and kind of the things that I talk about on TikTok.
Mm.
And we're almost to 100,000 followers. I just started a couple months ago.
Wow, that's amazing. That's great.
But you know what's funny, Mike, is you know who's responding to it?
Who?
Women.
Wow. Is that where you got the idea? You said, man, we should really kind of look into this.
Yeah. All the things that I've been saying to men for the past 3 years with this brotherhood, I just started making videos about it on TikTok, and the women are coming.
Universal.
And I'm like, weird. I think the message is in fact universal, but I also think it's that guy, the vibration, the energy that he's emanating. I want a man like that. Like I like what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's articulating this in a way that I couldn't articulate it myself. And this is what I've been wanting my husband to become, but I couldn't say it. Right. But going back to your original question, long-term, I want to be on stage speaking to thousands, sharing this message of, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, I asked you, I mean, how far back do you want me to go? I could talk about homelessness, depression, mental health, suicide, divorce. The list goes on. I think the thing that qualifies me of being a phenomenal coach for these men is the fact that I've been through hell.
Yeah.
And I really want to use that experience to empower, like you said earlier, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only way to do that, unfortunately, is to get in front of people who actually want help.
Well, you're batting 1,000, man. I mean, you're doing really well. 2019 to where you're at now. And I love your thumbprint, man. It's great.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Please tell everybody how they can find out more about you.
Yep. So if you want to you want to Google Josh Holyfield, HOLYFIELD. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and YouTube, Josh Holyfield. I don't get fancy. My website, joshholyfield.com. anytime somebody asks the easiest way to get a hold of me, I just say, Google my name. You'll find me.
Josh, thank you so much for sharing. Outstanding. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate your time, and I really appreciate the opportunity and the invite to come hang out with you for today, Mike.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
That was Army veteran and personal development extraordinaire, Josh Holyfield. Here's a little something for you, Josh. I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country. Nathan Hale, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hanging out with you all in the next episode. All right, have you guys been to longshotleaders.com? That's where you can check out all of the guests and the bios and the backgrounds and more. Also, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what we do, give us a good rating. Tell your family and friends to come by and listen. It's going to make you feel nice and toasty inside. Every week, we'll be delivering knowledge, creativity, inspiration, exasperation, perspiration. If it ends with a shun, basically, you're going to find it here. All right. Thank you for joining us. And in the great words of Bill Murray in the movie Caddyshack, friends for life, I say.